dreams. Everybody knows about dreams, both the night and day varieties. Sleeping dreams illustrate the waking dreams. When you awake from your sleeping dream, there are no things, places, or persons evident. They were all in the dream. You understand this, and you do not set about to change the dream in any way. You do not try to treat the situation. The dream passes from you very quickly. Perhaps you recall some of it and say, "What an interesting and curious phenomenon." The dream is subjectively objective. It is entirely mental, wholly within. In either the waking or the sleeping dream, the dreamer has the belief that his body is material and that pleasure or pain is in that body. Mrs. Eddy tells us over and over in her writings that there is no more reality to the waking dream than there is to the sleeping dream. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "To the Christian Science healer, sickness is a dream from which the patient needs to be awakened," close quote. And she says too, quote, "Speak the truth to every form of error. Tumors, ulcers, tubercles, inflammation, pain, deformed joints are waking dream shadows, dark images of mortal thought which flee before the light of truth." Close quote. Realize that all disease is a waking dream shadow, and it flees before the light of truth. All disease can leave as quickly, as easily, and as painlessly as the night dream. Translate any error back to God, and you behold harmonious action. Accidents. Man lives and moves and has his being in God. Then, man is always safe, happy, and harmonious. Accidents are a belief of mortal mind, false in every aspect. Entertaining a belief of accidents, you are denying heaven's first law, which is order. There could be no presence of disorder in heaven. Heaven is a divine state of consciousness and is wholly within. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Accidents are unknown to God or immortal mind, and we must leave the mortal basis of belief and unite with the one mind in order to change the notion of chance to the proper sense of God's unerring direction and thus bring out harmony. Under divine providence, there can be no accidents." Close quote. Everybody readily quotes the first part of the above sentence, but the remainder of it is a command. Go back to your illustration of the alphabet. You never have an accident with the letters of the alphabet. They never wear out. They never have any form of disease. You never lose them. You never have an accident. They move harmoniously in the mental realm, and you keep them there. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Everything is as real as you make it, and no more so. What you see, hear, feel is a mode of consciousness, and can have no other reality than the sense you entertain of it." Close quote. You keep the alphabet, the multiplication table, as a form, a mode, or a manner of consciousness. In that state of thought, everything moves harmoniously. You see the alphabet, you handle it, and it has tangibility. You handle it always with a sense of dominion. Each letter has identity, distinction, and form. You never have the alphabet out there. It is not observed or handled by the physical senses. Mrs. Eddy says to rest on the evidence of the physical senses is dangerous. Is what you have been saying about the alphabet any different than the automobile in the street? No. The trouble with the automobile is that you have it external to consciousness, operated and controlled by minds many, whereas you know God controls everything. Having things out there is physics and leads to discord. Having things as a mode of consciousness is metaphysics and leads to harmony. Your experience is your attitude and altitude of mind. Mrs. Eddy puts it so well in the following quotation. Quote, "When an accident happens, you think or exclaim, 'I am hurt.' Now, reverse the process. Declare that you are not hurt and understand the reason why, and you will find the ensuing good effects to be in exact proportion to your disbelief in physics and your fidelity to divine metaphysics, confidence in God as all, which the scriptures declare him to be." Close quote. Pressure. The world seems to be in an unrestful condition. It does not seem to be getting much peace, and it cannot, because the pressure of truth is becoming more difficult to resist. The effect of this science is being felt. Every mortal must finally yield to the scientific fact that, quote, "All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all." Close quote. We, as Christian scientists, must lead the way. Mrs. Eddy tells us, quote, "The effect of this science is to stir the human mind to a change of base on which it may yield to the harmony of the divine mind." Close quote. She further admonishes us, quote, "Christian scientists must live under the constant pressure of the apostolic command to come out from the material world and be separate." Close quote. Inferiority and interferiority. We must never take offense from a wound. Just leave it with God, who will avenge and heal. We cannot reward. He does this. Always remember what Jesus said, quote, "Of mine own self, I can do nothing." Close quote. Quote, "Progress is the law of God," close quote, says our leader. From the day we found Christian Science, we have progressed steadily. There are times when we do not seem to progress as rapidly as we would like. We stop and question, and wonder why. We are searching to see what is interfering with our forward march. We compare ourselves with others and get the feeling that we have an inferiority complex. In all our endeavors, there is always something that seems to interfere. We say we could do this or that thing if something or somebody did not interfere. The reason we do not accomplish more is that we have an inferiority complex. We do not believe we possess the divine capacity. It is fear and ignorance that seem to gain the floor and hold sway. You perhaps know the story of the man who was making a great struggle to succeed, but at every point he seemed blocked. His wife seemed not to be in accord with all his endeavors. He sought the aid of a practitioner. He said to the practitioner, "My wife is a very wonderful woman, a very positive person. She certainly does not have an inferiority complex, but as far as I am concerned, she seems to have an interferiority complex. She interferes with my rightful endeavors as I see them." "Yes, it is an interferiority complex with which she is possessed. See that your endeavors are not blocked by an interferiority complex. Get some positive ideas to run interference for you, and stay with these good ideas, and you will cross the goal line every time. Don't have an interferiority complex. There is nothing out there to interfere. Nothing that can interfere with your progress without your consent. You had better ruminate on this idea. Have neither an inferiority complex nor an interferiority complex."